Hey, Shoujo fans! Welcome to a new episode of Shoujo Sunday. We will be reviewing The Cat Returns. Let's dig in. Hey guys, so we're back. Like, if you didn't already guess that we were gonna do The Cat Returns, we low-key said it in the Whisper of the Heart episode. But yes, we're back with another Ghibli film, The Cat Returns, directed by Hiroyuki Morita. This is Morita-san's first and only film as a director for Studio Ghibli. So I'm just like, low-key, did he die? But maybe he didn't. Let me not put that
on. Oh my god.
That's kind of messed up. Okay. Y'all know me. Sometimes I get a little out of hand. It's fine. Okay. Based off of the manga, The Cat Returns by Aoi Hirayagi, who is the same mangaka that wrote Whisper of the Heart. Also, fun fact, the Japanese voice actress Yoko Hana, who voiced Shizuku in the original Whisper of the Heart film, provided the minor voice role of Chika, who is one of Haru's classmates in The Cat Returns.
Oh, that's cute.
Yes.
A little cameo.
Yes, I like the continuation. We listened to the dub, y'all. I'm sorry. It is what it is.
We had to. We, like, didn't have a choice.
We did not have a choice. HBO Max was just like, sorry, girl, or whatever. So instead, we got the Princess of Genovia, okay, Mia Thermopolis herself, Anne Hathaway as Haru, and I'm here for it. And obviously, Carrie Ells is back as the Baron.
Yes.
Princess Bride Carrie Ells, okay, that fine piece of man from back in the day, okay? I can't vouch for what he looks like now, but he was fine before. But anyway, let's get into this. Here's our soft serve summary. It's actually a long serve summary. So sit tight. The film begins with the Baron beside a window saying, "If you find yourself troubled by something mysterious or a problem that is hard to solve, there is a place you can go to always find help. You just need to look for it." We meet our main girl, Haru. She's a procrastinator with Beyonce short bangs that has no time to eat or she'll be late for school. Once she does reach school, the teacher calls her out for being late and the entire class laughs at her, including her crush, Mochita. Later, Haru complains to her best friend, Hiromi, about not liking the feeling of being laughed at instead of laughed with. They banter until they see a gray cat with a gold collar who has a present in his mouth. The cat, who we will be affectionately calling Red Light, Green Light, walks across the street at the wrong time and right when he would have been smashed by Truck-kun, Haru saves him with her lacrosse stick. Surprisingly, Red Light, Green Light thanks Haru for her help before rushing off to leave. When Haru tells Hiromi that she spoke to the cat, Hiromi thinks that she hit her head while saving him. Haru again mentions the encounter to her mom, who then tells her that Haru said she was able to talk to cats when she was very, very young. We see a flashback of Haru giving a dirty white kitten some fish cookies, who told her that life is hard. As Haru is getting ready to go to sleep, the cat cult appears. A bunch of cats walking on their hind legs in a procession walk up to her front door, and Haru finds out that Red Light, Green Light is actually Prince Loon of the Cat Kingdom. The Cat King decrees that Haru will be rewarded for her endeavors for saving his only child, which she accepts without seeing what she was actually accepting. The next day, her yard is covered in cattails. She has catnip on her, which makes all the neighborhood cats chase her into her school, and a bunch of mice and boxes fall out of her locker. Haru is massively freaked out and tells one of the Cat King's servants that she doesn't like the gifts. So the cat servant offers to arrange her marriage with Prince Loon. She contemplates it and says no, but Cat Servant doesn't listen and runs off. Haru is left freaking out again until omnipresent Cat Mufasa tells Haru to go to the Cat Bureau to get help. Haru is eventually able to find a white cat of the thicker persuasion named Muta to take her to the Cat Bureau, which looks like a mini replica of an Italian or European city with a cottage in the middle of it. Hashtag yes, I know that Italy is a European. I know it, guys. Anyway, we finally see the Baron. He comes out of the cottage and welcomes Haru in to listen to her problems. While drinking a specially brewed tea, Haru talks about the Cat Kingdom taking her to marry Prince Lu, but she doesn't actually want to marry him. Baron and Muta decide to help her, but she ends up being catnapped to the Cat Kingdom. Haru wakes up in the Cat Kingdom with Muta guarding her. He says that they need to figure out how to leave, while Haru uncharacteristically lazes away on the grass. A white cat with a pink bow also tells her to make haste, but it's too late since the cat servant found her. They make it to the palace, and Haru tells the king that she doesn't want to get married, but they don't take her seriously. She slowly turns into a cat. And Muta gets stuck in a catnip jelly bowl. During the banquet, Haru cries as Cat King tries to get people to entertain her to make her stop. Anyone that fails gets thrown out of the window to essentially die. Baron, dressed up as Cat Zoro, dances with her, and the Cat King confronts him. He yells for Baron to be seized, and Baron uses a ninja star to get Muta out of the catnip jelly. Then, the Cat Secret Service holds the king back as guests rush out of the banquet, while cat soldiers flood in to fight Baron. Yuki helps Baron and Haru escape through a trash chute, leaving Muta behind. They have to get through the king's maids and up a large tower to get to the human world. Haru has until dawn the next day to turn back to a human. So, Yuki ends up leaving, and Baron figures out that Yuki is actually Cat Mufasa from earlier. And Muta arrives, and they set off through the king's maze. We learn that it is always afternoon time in Cat Kingdom, so they don't have much time until dawn. Muta jumps on top of the maze to cheat, while Baron and Haru run around. When the cat soldiers tries to attack them, Baron whips the pussies with his cane to subdue them. Cat King nice. Gets...
right? Very nice.
Yeah. Cat King gets the soldiers to disguise themselves as maze walls, but Haru sees through it and Baron kicks them down, and it creates a domino effect to the tower entrance, which they get to. Baron then carries Haru up the tower, and the Cat King is pissed, so he runs over to try to stop them. At that point, Cat King bombs the tower. Side note, when did this movie come out? Because yikes.
I know. Yikes. My jaw dropped. Sorry, go ahead.
I told y'all it was long. Okay. And anyway, Cat King bombs the tower and Haru and the gang are stuck. Loon shows up and proposes to Yuki with fish crackers. So the Cat King proposes to Haru, to which she yells no. We then find out that Muta is actually Ronaldo Moon, who is notorious in the Cat Kingdom for eating up all the fish. They even made a story hieroglyph of him. The Cat King is fed up, and he tries to take Haru for himself. Moon throws Haru up to a higher level of the tower so she can get out. The Cat King loses his mind and climbs the wall to stop her. Baron takes the sword that the Cat King threw at him to fight him. Muta goes after Haru. Haru finally reaches the tops of the stairs. Baron cuts the Cat King's crown and shaves the hair of his bottom parts. Haru then gets to the top of the exit, but it's in the middle of the sky. She changes back into a human and falls, taking Muta with her since he tried to save her. Baron gets through the tower and falls and speeds down to try to help them. Then they start skydiving with no parachute or safety measures. Suddenly, Toto the bird and his friends turn into crow stairs and lead Haru, Muta, and Baron to Haru's school. Toto takes Muta back, and Haru admits to having a crush on Baron, and Baron says he admires girls that speak from the heart. Then Baron, Toto, and Muta leave. The movie ends with a slight time skip, maybe. Haru makes breakfast and her hair's cut, and tea for her mom. Hiromi talks about Mochita breaking up with his girlfriend, and Haru doesn't actually care. As they talk, they pass by Muta, who looks at them before walking off. And that's our summary.
Nice job. Fantastic.
Thank you. I was talking for all of my life. Okay, Gianna, do you have a theme?
I do. I have a quote from the Baron.
Okay.
He says, "Learn just one thing. Always believe in yourself. Do this, and no matter where you are, you will have nothing to fear."
Perfect. Yeah, perfect.
Thanks.
I said, everyone fantasizes about wanting to live another life at one point of their lives, but the main thing that you need to do is just make the best out of the life you already have.
Oh, I really like that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So let's get into Sprinkle on Top. The opening song is also the closing song. It is called Kaze ni Naru, which I think is Beneath the Wind.
Oh, okay.
And it's by Ayano Tsuji. Overall, I think that it's a really nice song. I feel like it does all of the heavy lifting to connect Whisper of the Heart to Cat Returns, like through its lyrics, because a lot of the imagery that's mentioned in the song and talks about like riding a bike, looking at a starry sky alone, mentioning how someone will be by their side all the time. Like stuff like that, it just feels reflective of Seiji and Shizuku's relationship. And they also mention overcoming darkness, and you know that Shizuku had a really rough time with that in Whisper of the Heart. So I feel like it's a good connector. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, I always do the thing where I forget to take actual notes on the music and I just vibe out while I'm watching, but I definitely want to go back and revisit the lyrics because I don't want to get into unsureness, but just I'm glad that at least the song helped anchor the two films together.
Yeah.
Because there more could have been done in the actual narrative of the story to do that.
Right.
So I really would like to go back and give it another listen and read through the lyrics.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like, you know, I was kind of hopeful. Like, before I even got into the movie, I looked up the song. That's how I found out it was also the opening and closing. And so when I saw it, I was just hopeful, like, oh, okay, like, we're gonna see the next chapter, you know? Like, you remember, at least you guys remember, when we were reviewing Whisper of the Heart, we were just like, oh, is the Cat Returns, like, about Seiji and Shizuku's daughter?
Mm-hmm. I think that is why maybe I feel like it didn't meet my expectations. Not that I didn't like it, but, you know, that I think I had such grand expectations for the film based on Whisper of the Heart.
Right. And, like, for them to mention that this film is supposed to be a spinoff of Whisper of the Heart, I can say this. I am, like, before we get into it, because, like, I know we're supposed to be in Sprinkle on Top, but low-key, if I had to have, like, a ice cream, you scream hot fudge within this moment, I'm so disappointed that Louise was not a part of this story.
Yes, thank you. I'm glad it's not just me.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, I mean, we were coming up with, like, some fire-ass, like, ideas. And
right, I'm about to write them, honestly.
Right? Like, we might have another fanfic episode because
we might.
I just, and I wonder if it's just, like, not a translation issue, because the story is supposedly written by the same mangaka that did Whisper of the Heart.
Yeah.
And so for me, I'm just like, I don't know how you can leave such a big ass gap. Like, what?
Right. Yeah, my mind's kind of boggled, honestly.
Right. And I was just like, okay. Anyway, we'll get more into that later on in this episode.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that. So guys, we know it's not the same. If y'all feel a little disappointed, you're not on your own.
Yeah, yeah.
We do too.
We're with you.
Yeah. Do you have any Sprinkle on Top?
I actually do not. Nothing jumped out at me.
Okay. I have, I guess, sort of two. I have two. So one, Baron, which, I mean, I put so much into that summary, but I couldn't put literally everything into that summary. So at one point, we see Baron on Toto's back trying to rush after the cats in the Cat Kingdom, right? And Baron wasn't able to get into, like, that last Inception Doctor Strange looking asshole to go to the Cat Kingdom. So they were following, like, the little stars in the real world. And then the Baron is able to see that the Cat Kingdom looks like a literal paw print. And I thought that that was really cool.
Yeah, I think it was, like, what was it, five lakes that looked like a paw?
Yeah.
Yeah,
like that was neat. Around trees and stuff. Yeah, mm-hmm. It looked so cool. Which, I mean, I guess plot hole, how did he get in there?
Right.
But
yeah.
Okay. And then I guess the other one that I had is like another Baron quote, which I said this within the summary, but I wanted to just note it again. If you find yourself troubled by something mysterious or a problem that is hard to solve, there is a place you can go to always find help. You just need to look for it.
Mm.
And I guess that was the Baron in the very beginning of this movie said that, and he was talking about the Cat Bureau.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Which I thought that was, like, nice. Like, they said overall that the Cat Bureau is, like, a refuge for all creation, mm-hmm. which was interesting. So I never thought about, and it's, like, the way that they said that, you would have thought that this was going to turn into a TV series.
Right, right. Like, that opens a lot of potential for, like, what other creations could be, seeking refuge there.
To ask him for help, you mm-hmm. know. And, you know, I'll call on this now early in this episode. Y'all can make, I don't know, the cat comes back. The cat's here again. I don't know, like, something like that.
Hey, look, the cat again.
The cat again. Like, yeah, because I was... Oh, gosh. I want to see the ending with Louise. I want to see that. I have other ideas.
I do,
but
too.
Like I said, it's going to be another segment, but...
Yeah, the Baron deserves happily ever after.
Right? Right. Especially when Haru said that she liked him, and then he had to reject her and just be like, oh, I admire a girl that knows her heart, because no.
Oh, see, I have feelings about that, but we'll get there.
We'll get there, because I have feelings. Anyway, yeah. Okay, so let's get into Floats Your Boat. Okay. I think I already noted this already, but I love that the film started off with the Baron giving advice. It just reminded me of, although this happens at the end of the episodes, but you remember when Sailor Moon was like being syndicated in the US, and then they would have like Sailor Moon Says at the end where she's giving you advice in relation to the episode?
Oh man, I don't know if I do, but it rings like the vaguest of bells because I was very little watching that.
Right. Like it was like, let's just say that somebody bullied you, Saigi, right? Then she would just be like at the end, Sailor Moon Says, okay, guys, if you see a bully, you know what? You should ask them why they're bullying you and everything. And then stand up for yourself. Okay. Sailor Moon says, stand up for yourself. And then that was like the end.
That's adorable.
Yeah. Little tidbits and stuff. I noticed our friends, Annie Bay Anime Podcasts, I believe, that Annie Bay's. They, like, do some sort of Sunday advice thing, and it's very reminiscent of Sailor Moon Says. But, yeah. So, anyway, I liked that they, I mean, even though this advice wasn't technically at the end of the movie, it just reminded me of that. And I just like when, I guess, anime makes the lessons that it's trying to, like, they're very upfront about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is some of your Floats Your Boat?
Okay, so right at the beginning of the movie, immediately I was admiring her bull alarm clock. It's just so funny and unique.
Mm-hmm.
And also, right after she gets up, she's running late, so she, like, hurries to get ready, and then she goes to do, like, a double take at herself in the mirror on her way out, and she, like, dusts off her skirt. She goes, whatever, and quickly runs off, and I just personally relate so strongly to that, because when I'm running late, there just comes a time where I'm like, you need to stop being picky about clothes or jewelry or makeup or whatever and just, like, get out the door. Like, it's whatever. Like, you look fine.
Yeah, yeah. It also reminded me of Shizuku, the fact that they were, like...
Oh, yeah.
...almost late to, like, school and stuff.
Yeah, that is very reminiscent. At least, okay, that's another connection I missed. I like that.
Yeah, yeah. So they have that. She has her little good best friend named Hiromi. And so does Shizuku had her best friend. They both technically like people. So, like, there are similar, like, beats within it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not the expectation I had. But I like seeing certain remnants and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So when Haru gets to class, right, and the teacher is reading, I thought he was reading an excerpt of Shizuku's book, possibly. And I don't know if I was reading into that.
But I didn't pay attention to what he was saying. I definitely want to go check that out.
I'll send you the transcript. We'll see. I'm going to send it to Gianna. We'll see if we can add this into our show notes. But I found the transcript of the movie. Some kind soul did the transcripts of the whole movie.
Bless them.
Bless them. So I like looked at it, and then I found the transcript for Whisper of the Heart, and I looked at it, and I couldn't find the exact quote in Whisper of the Heart, but, you know, she also mentioned castles and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just like, oh, okay, like, maybe that's, like, the connection. I was trying so hard, y'all. I wanted this to be connected, like, so bad, but yeah.
Me too.
Yeah. I was really happy about how open Haru is about liking Mochita, although he was, like, laughing at her, but...
Yeah.
Although I'll say maybe it's just because this story is like more focused on fantasy. We don't get that as much of the slice of life element. So In Whisper of the Heart, we were learning so much about Shizuku and how she likes the guy in the books who's actually Seiji, and like how her friend is in love with this other guy who's in love with Shizuku. Like, we got all of that. And this is like, oh, lightly touching on the fact she likes somebody and he's not paying any attention to her.
Yeah, it's like such a minimal part of the...
Right.
Yeah, of the story.
Yeah, right. It's barely there, and it's kind of just like, I wish that y'all went more into it, because her liking the Baron, that's not feasible.
Yeah, so, for a lot of reasons.
I'm waiting for, like, I was like, oh, like, is Mochita finna show up at the end of the story and just be like, oh, I like you now, or you make me laugh, we should go out sometime. But
no.
In any case.
Yeah.
No, we didn't. I also like the fact that Haru almost got by Truck-kun. Like, I don't remember Truck-kun at all when I was watching The Cat Returns. And so when I saw that the truck coming, I was like, oh my gosh, like, is this going to be like Yu Yu Hakusho? Like, she's going to get hit by this car and then she has to go to like the spirit world and start fighting people. But thankfully,
just like isekai'd out.
Get hit by the car and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, my first sight at Prince Loon, just in kitty, full kitty form carrying the present, I just wrote in all caps in my notes, kitty carrying a present, I love you.
Right?
But Haru saving him obviously is an obligatory floats your boat.
Yeah.
I almost put it in Ice Cream You Stream just because I was like actually screaming on the inside because it was such a tense moment. But yeah, no, she saved him in the nick of time. And then just everything ensuing that, the shock on her face when he just like stands up straight and talks to her to say thank you. I also loved that the quote he says, at least in English, because we had to watch it in English, guys, sorry. He says straight up, I'll return later to thank you. And then... in all caps, I wrote, like, the title of the movie.
Oh!
He's gonna return, and he's a cat.
Right?
Yeah.
What a different story this would have been if Loon was the one to return.
But oh, right.
That didn't happen, though. Poor red light, green
no.
light. No. We don't see him again until, like, almost the end of the movie. But
yeah, and I really liked him just as a character overall. I would have liked to see more of him. He was very interesting.
Yeah, but yeah, I was glad that she saved Prince Loon. And then also the cat cult, the cat Avengers, they started assembling. Okay.
They did.
On a pelican. I was like, how'd y'all make that? Cat secret service, like special agent spies, men in black looking cats. It was very intriguing.
Yeah, definitely an interesting little society they have going on there.
Yeah, that's why I called it a cult, because all those people walking like that and like waving the thingy around, like the lights and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's supposed to be royalty, but that's a lot, because, you know, I mean, you don't see King Charles, right? God rest Diana. But anyway, you don't see King Charles walking around. I mean, he walks around with people, but it's not like a procession. Like, all the time.
Right. I guess this is, like, their way of, like, isn't there the, what do they call it when, like, the president travels and it's all the car, it's, like, several cars around, you know, to kind of make sure that they're safe.
A barricade?
Yeah.
A parade?
I think there's, like, some weird, like, combination word of, like, car barricade that they use, and I can't remember what it is. But I wonder if it's just, like, their version of that, but they're all just cats carrying lanterns.
Motorcade.
Motorcade. That's what it is. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, it was very interesting to see all of them. And first off, the special agent cats were violent, okay, because the other cats in the neighborhood, they were just like, what is tea? What is going on? Who are y'all? And then the special agent cats were like, oh, I'm finna throw you into this bush.
Yeah, they're kind of rough.
And they were struggling.
They only get rougher, really.
Yeah, they were struggling. And meanwhile, Haru's just watching them.
Yeah. That's
banana split that.
Banana split that too for me, yeah. We'll get there.
Get there, yeah. Okay. So first off, why does the Cat King sound like Johnny Bravo?
Isn't Tim Curry the Cat King?
Is he?
I am pretty sure.
Okay, okay. Is he still with us?
I am pretty sure. I'm like...
Okay.
I'm pretty sure.
I'll be sad. I liked him.
Yeah, you know, he's chilling at a healthy 76 years.
Okay. Okay, cool. Well, Tim Curry is the Cat King, and it sounded like he was doing a Johnny Bravo impression. So I started laughing. I'm like, why are you calling her babe? And why is your hair so unruly?
Yeah, like, take care of yourself. You're the king. Shouldn't people be pampering you?
Right, like, brushing it. Like, yeah. He looked a little crazy and stuff. But yeah, so I said, why does he sound like Johnny Bravo? And then I said, of course, Red Light, Green Light's name is Loon, because he's quite literally a lunatic for walking in the middle of a street with cars going.
Aw.
I know it means like moon phase, guys. I know. I'm just playing.
Yeah. I like that it was a play on moon for sure.
Yeah. But I don't really have... I don't even have much Floats Your Boat left. But I think it's like at a certain point I just started reacting to the film and not writing down.
I think a lot of my stuff is reactionary too.
Yeah. Like I just did my best on the summary and then I was just like everything else like.
That's fine. Yeah. I don't think I have a lot of big dissections. It's just a lot of reactions to stuff. Like my favorite part of the movie is next in my Floats Your Boat, and that's Haru's flashback of feeding the little white kitten her fish cookies or fish crackers. Oh my gosh. And in that moment, of course, I'm thinking like, tell me the white cat is Louise.
Right.
As a kitten. Oh, but it's not. It's not because it's for some reason, who knows? Yeah.
Y'all. And you know she was wearing pink. Her bow is pink. And Louise's dress is pink. And, oh, okay.
It's so frustrating.
So irritated.
Like, yeah.
When y'all do it, I was like, Louise is cheating on you.
Oh,
my God. First off, I thought it was funny that when she gave her the fish crackers, I was like, you told her you were gonna give her fish and you gave her dairy in the shape of fish,
right? Aren't all cats lactose intolerant? That's a thing, right?
I feel like that's a thing. I mean, I wouldn't know.
I'm pretty sure that's a thing.
Can you giving them a fish cracker? At least let it be a fish stick. Like, come on, y'all.
Right.
Fish cracker.
She was just a kid, though, so.
Sure, I guess. And her mom was coming home and everything. She's just like, oh, I gave the cat my fish cracker. Which you would think the mom would be like, oh, you know what? Maybe we should take this cat in.
Oh my gosh, if I were Haru, I would be begging to take that cat in.
And name it Louise, but you know.
Yes.
Another day.
Oh, I'm already thinking of like how it could have played out if that happened. My brain can't go there.
Right. Also, I thought it was funny that that Yuki is Cat Mufasa.
Okay, I don't, that's not Floats Your Boat for me.
It was funny because when I heard that shit, I thought of Mufasa for real. And it's like, I think I watched Screen Junkies. So guys, if y'all ever watch the YouTube channel Screen Junkies, they have honest trailers. So they did an honest trailer for The Lion King. And like in college, that took me the F out. I was crying laughing, especially when they did the Mufasa bit. So when I heard Cat Mufasa, I was just started laughing. I'm just like, what the fuck is this? Who are you? How are you talking to her? All of these questions that don't get answered.
Right. Like, what is this disembodied voice? Like, come on.
Okay, if Cat Kingdom is talking to you like that, what about other dimensions? What about Shizuku's dimension in her book? But you know what? It's fine. I'm not going to be too bitter. Okay, I'm trying, y'all. I'm trying.
Yeah, we're trying. It did remind me of my favorite movie in the whole wide world is Stardust, which came out in 2007. And there's a moment in the movie, one of the whole premises of the movie is that like the stars above listen and watch the events that are happening in the world. And there's one point in the movie where the stars, like, whisper something to the main character to try and get him to help their, you know, help someone in need. And, like, that at least makes sense because, like, it's already in the lore. But, like, this disembodied voice just telling her to go to the Cat Bureau didn't do it for me.
It didn't do it for me either because I wanted this to be explained more. And maybe I think what's kind of wild is that... So, okay, I take issue with the fact that Whisper of the Heart is a movie that's technically meant for adults, but it takes place in middle school. But The Cat Returns is meant for children, but it takes place in high school.
Right, right. That's bizarre, huh?
It's very, very weird. It's very weird.
Yeah, this movie definitely had a more directed at children feel to it than Whisper of the Heart, which also it's like, why are these movies supposed to be connected if they have different target audiences?
Right, right. I feel like it was a bad decision in my personal opinion.
I agree.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry that, like, especially coming off of Blue Spring Ride, I'm really sorry, guys, that we've been so negative. I promise you what we're doing next, we're going to rave about.
We're going to be so happy.
We're going to be happy for months, guys.
For months.
That's all I'll say.
Hint, hint. We said months.
Yeah.
Okay. but yeah, so let me see if there's anything else that I really liked. I like the fact that even though Muta was a bit like begrudging about it, that he did try to protect Haru a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, that was nice.
Yeah. And then the Baron did the best as well. Like, he was really
MVP.
Yeah, like, you know what? It reminded me of The Rescuers.
Have you seen that? Oh, okay. A long, long time ago. Not enough to remember, like, exact details, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, because it was just like, how are these mice going to save this, like, little girl, you know, from mm-hmm. this crazy lady? And then they end up doing it, and they have, like, United Nations of mice, and they're like, they helped her or some shit like that. But yeah, so with that, it was like, technically that's for children or pointed to children. Maybe they were also inspired by that, and so that's why they did that, but
maybe.
In any case, yeah, so that's what Baron and the Cat Bureau, that's what it reminds me of.
Also with Baron at the Cat Bureau, when Haru arrives in the little, like, town, seeing Baron in the window with his eyes glistening in the setting sun was definitely a brilliant callback to Whisper of the Heart. I really appreciated that they inserted that in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, just the whole... Like, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just wondering how he got there.
Yeah, I had questions too about, like, so much of the lore is unexplained. But I really did try to take it at face value, but it just got increasingly harder. That's what I'll say for now. But the scene in the Cat Bureau where Baron's making her tea was so adorable. I think the attention to detail was great too, with like how big she is compared to like him being like a little cat, and his own personal blend of tea is different every time. It's such a cute like characteristic, a unique characteristic of him. And the way he's like, she says it's the best tea she's ever had, and he says, well, you're lucky then. I thought it was just a really nice, heartwarming little scene there.
Yeah. And I'm gonna try to not be negative, guys, but I was just like, oh, she was able to get in there, one.
Oh, then yeah, I was yeah. Just,
sorry. The claustrophobia. I was like.
Me too. I was like, I would like, oh, there's no way. I wouldn't even attempt it. I had, oh God, so cramped.
I was just like, how you get your whole body, your thighs, your shoulders?
Yeah.
You know, it's even hard when you're coming into this earth, you know, when you're trying to get your shoulders out of your mom.
Oh, my God.
I guess
God.
TMI. But your shoulders in this cottage.
Oh, my. I'm absolutely dead. What has this episode turned into?
It's my bad. I'm sorry.
Oh my god.
But when she got in there, I was just like, baby, I don't know how you finna get out. Like,
right. Oh, man.
But they manage it. They manage it, you know. I guess...
All the cats catnapping her?
Yeah, the cats catnapping her and everything. And, like, shout out to Muta. I mean, I sort of... Because he tried to help her. But they really just moved and let him slam on his stomach. Yeah. Onto the, like, cobblestones when he was trying to save her.
Right. I'm glad that he at least tried to help. But before he tries to help, the Baron and Muta are trying to prepare Angel food cake with some whipped cream, and she's just like getting catnap. Although, first off, yes, always whipped cream and fresh fruit with your angel food cake. There's no other way. And also, I just loved the comedic beat of them like struggling to like figure out how they're gonna get the whipped cream out and like put it on the cake and stuff. And Haru's actively getting kidnapped, and then they just kind of look up, and Byron just goes, skip the tea, grabs his coat and cane, and then they chase after.
Yeah, I thought it was adorable. Like, they're doing so much. Like, everything's by hand. By hand tea, by hand whipped cream, guys, because this isn't like from a frosting cup. This isn't ready whip. Like, they had to make that shit, so somehow right. It was already pre-prepared.
If they had to whisk that with a hand and not an electric mixer, kudos, because that's gonna hurt your arm.
Right, because how can you do that with a paw?
Also that is way harder without opposable thumbs.
Yeah, they needed like a kitchenette. Isn't that what it's called, the brand?
KitchenAid,
that's what it, yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I thought that was nice. What else?
I did have a specific scene once we get to the Cat Kingdom that I really, really liked.
Yeah, because, like, honestly, we get to the Cat Kingdom and I'm low-key done. I just had the...
Oh, right,
yeah. I knew that Yuki was the dirty cat. That's, like, my last what's your boat.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely evident the second you see her. But before that, the first thing that we see in the Cat Kingdom is this little cat lady come out of her little cat home, and she's greeted by a man cat, and he sweetly puts a crown of flowers on her head, and they seem really happy and, like, romantic and adorable for 2 seconds before being scared off by Haru unexpectedly coming over to check out the kingdom. But the interaction between the two cat residents was the cutest thing. It fed my soul.
It was so adorable. Like, we needed legitimate romance. And so I'm glad we sort of got it at random times.
Yeah, it wasn't a full-blown side plot of the movie. It was like low-key with Haru developing a crush on the Baron, but we didn't really get a lot of actual shoujo romance in this film. And like, I feel like that little scene almost fulfilled it for me because it was so darn cute.
Yeah, it was really adorable. But yeah, I don't have any more. So if you have more, floats your boat.
I do, and it's really reactionary stuff.
Okay.
Obviously, like, I put in all caps, Baron to the rescue at the palace. Yeah. Because he showed up. She's crying at this feast or whatever, this little party. And he just comes in the nick of time, truly. There was a very funny moment as they escape out the back door of the palace. Muta meets up with them a few minutes later. He's like, whose idea was it to leave without me? I could have been killed. And the Baron, like, knowing full well that it was himself, turns to Haru and goes, this is no time for finger pointing. And she just nods to get him off the hook.
Yeah. I thought that was really funny.
Yeah, I thought that was funny too. I also just, as just something a general like would be, I loved that it was always noon in the Cat Kingdom. I feel like it's a really spot on idea because cats just love laying in the sunshine and noon is the perfect time for that.
Yeah, it's just like comfortable. And guys, it's like when you get into that nice like shade, right? Not the shade, but like, when you get into that nice spot and then the sunlight hits you, okay?
Mm.
I just, like, my cat senses are tingling. I really like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it reminds me of the feeling I would get when I was very, very young, like elementary school young. And I used to love when my parents did the laundry because I liked to lay on the dried clothes once they came out the shower because it was so warm.
Oh, yeah. There is nothing like warm clothes right out of the dryer. It's just the epitome of cozy.
Yeah, yeah.
I just have a few more. Sorry.
No, it's okay.
So when they're in the King's Maze, I was going to make a comment, but I'm going to save it. When they're in the King's Maze and the king just decides to hit a golf ball blindly into the maze and he ends up striking down one of his own guards, I thought that was a silly little moment.
Yeah, I liked the The dominoes.
Yeah, the dominoes. For a second, I was like, are all these cats like getting crushed to death? Because that's so dark. But then they were like saying ow as they were walking over them. So I was backspacing the very sad I scream, you scream that I had been typing.
I mean, I don't know. They might have been crushed, okay? Because like there was cat on cat crime.
Yeah.
Like they were murdering people. So I started walking across. I was just like, damn. Well,
oh,
Godspeed.
Yeah. Godspeed. Oh, man. I'm almost done, I swear. We have, of course, Haru being relatable and out of breath after one staircase. And then the Baron just scoops her up and carries her up the tower. I thought that was nice, you know, him just being suave in the Baron way.
Yeah, that's the only thing that's nice about it.
Yeah.
For me, anyway.
That's where it starts and stops. There's nothing romantic. It was just cool because he's the Baron.
Yeah.
Yes, we're not shipping. At the end of the film, when Prince Loon arrives, he's like essentially like, oh fuck, Dad, what did you do? And I love that he's just so chill and he's so sweet and he's nothing like his dad. I feel like I kind of said that earlier though. I really liked Prince Loon.
Yeah, I mean, I like him as well. I think he was cool. I did think that, I guess, Banana split his proposal because, bruh.
Aw, it was sweet. Actually, that was in my Floats Your Boat, but it's also low-key Rocky Road because I'm a sensitive mess. I'm too sensitive for my own good. I just thought it was very cute that he literally went out of his way and almost got hit by a truck to get her that, to ask her to marry him. So cute. So cute.
No, like, it was cute. It was just time and place.
Okay, yes. No, time and place. Right. I gotta tell you that I do not want to be proposed to that way if I ever am. Like,
you better not give me no damn fish sticks.
Not in the middle of... not in the middle of a conflict and where I don't want to say my father, like where I, but I guess in the case it would be my father or their father also proposing to me, right? Or the girl that was supposed to marry him. It's like it's so disgusting.
Right. I'm just like, she didn't even want your son. Why would she want you? You don't even brush yourself.
Oh my God.
Like, bruh.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. I have three more just super reactionary stuff. I'll just read them really quick.
Okay.
Obvious floats your boat is that Toto brings a murder of crows to save them as they're literally falling out of the sky. We love the movie not ending with them falling to their death.
We have had too many, let me not say that, but yeah, I'm glad.
Yeah. Yeah. Haru's mother's alarm clock is adorable, too.
It is.
Hers is a pig. Thought that was cute. And the last one that I have is that it's nice to see Haru having been inspired by the Baron to get up early and make breakfast for her and her mom and create her own blend of tea at the end of the movie.
Yeah. I liked her outfit, too, in the final thing.
I did, too. She looked very refreshed.
Yeah, and grown and... Oh my gosh, not me just noticing that. You know how people say, like, and I think I got this from manga or anime in general, that when you get rejected, you cut your hair. Her hair is cut.
Oh, wait, I don't know how to feel about that.
I don't, but I just realized. It's always a change of hair. If they don't.
It's always.
Like, yeah. If it's not a cut, it's a dye, it's something.
It's bangs.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, hers were atrocious. I called them Beyonce bangs. If y'all remember, what is it? Miss Carter Tour. I don't know if it was Miss Carter Tour or it was when Video Phone. Yeah. So when Beyonce released Video Phone with Lady Gaga.
A telephone?
One day she walked out and she had these bangs. Like,
I'm Googling.
They're terrible. Beyonce bangs.
Oh no. Yeah, a baby bang is not really her style.
It's not. It's so ugly.
Yeah, it doesn't really work for her.
It was like Video Phone era, guys. Like the first image, if y'all Google Beyonce bangs right now, the first image from E! Online, that's what I'm talking about. It looks like trash, and that is what our poor girl Haru, like, Haru's bangs look worse, to be honest.
Yeah.
But still, No. But that's Floats Your Boat, so let's get into Banana Split.
All right.
So I guess two things for the mom. One, why didn't the mom wrap up the breakfast to go?
Right. Her daughter's gotta eat.
I'm like, let me tell you something. I know my mom would never send me out of the house hungry.
No, me neither.
Not if she's in the same house as me. And let's say she didn't go to work that day and I'm like, oh, I gotta rush out. She'd just be like, you go eat something. Or she already would have had eggs made or something and have it in aluminum foil if I'm like that late. I looked at the mom sideways. I'm like, you just go eat that in front of her like that? Like, damn, you couldn't just be like, here, let me wrap this for you so you can eat it.
Right. She's like teasing her about it. Like, oh, this is such good breakfast. Like, it's terrible.
Yeah. And then the second is back to the Beyonce bangs. Mom, why did you allow it?
Right.
Like, you are just allowing your child to go out looking crazy.
Yeah, my mom would never. I mean, although she is in high school, so my mom would probably let me make my own hair mistakes by that point. But thinking younger than that, absolutely not.
No, baby, no. Okay. You better get you a headband. Like.
A hat.
Yes. Barrettes. Come on. Okay, something of note for me. So right when we're like technically meeting Haru and then Haru is complaining about being laughed at in her class with Harumi. The fact that Harumi suggested that Haru should like try to talk to Mochita, knowing that Mochita had a girlfriend, I was banana split about it because Haru laughed, but I would hate for a friend to do that to me just to get a laugh.
Yeah, everything about Harumi for me is an I scream, you scream.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure she was only in like the first 4 minutes of the movie and I hated her immediately.
Yeah, I didn't really rock with her neither. Wasn't she? Oh my gosh, this was the start of Frozen. This is the start of Frozen. Guys, so Harumi is voiced by Kristen Bell and Kristen Bell is Anna, isn't she?
Yes.
See, she got this annoyance shit down from like years, okay? She'd been prepared. I liked her in Veronica Mars, though. But still, yeah, so I didn't know how to feel about it because it's like, Haru is laughing, but it's like, banana split, I could really fight you, though. But okay, like, not fight, but it's like, we would not be friends after that.
Yeah, honestly, since we're on the subject of Harumi, I might as well get my ice cream you scream about her out of the way. She's like, haha, well, all of these bad things happening to you is probably an omen that your life is about to get a lot worse. Is that really something you say to your best friend?
That's not her friend. That's an op.
Right, not at all. And especially, like what you said, she was essentially like, definitely flirt with the guy you like, except, like, he has a cute girlfriend and I just wanted to laugh when he rejected you. My goodness, if there was an example of what kind of people not to surround yourself with, it's this.
Yeah, and I wonder, maybe it's just because we're feeling a little sensitive post watching Blue Spring Ride, but it's so reminiscent of Futaba dealing with Asumi and Chie.
Right. Oh my god.
Because they would want her to do these things and then Futaba would do them and then they would just laugh at her all of the time. And then with Harumi asked Haru to stay back so that she could watch Suge, her crush, play fucking ping pong. Ping pong, bitch. Ping pong.
It's the most impressive sport, obviously. Guys, I don't care about sports, by the way. It's not really a thing for me.
I don't care about sports at all, okay? It's the Super Bowl, what is that? I just know about halftime, okay?
I remember specifically years ago, like back when I was like regularly watching anime. So again, we're talking years ago. The Super Bowl was on and it wasn't my home team or anything. And like people were watching it and I was literally watching like Save Me Lollipop all night, like binge watching anime instead. So yeah, sports aren't my thing.
Right. It's like sports aren't my thing, but sports anime though? Okay, I could do that, but
I haven't opened that door yet, but I'm very curious.
Maybe one day we'll do it.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Okay, so my first one is, if I woke up in the middle of the night and saw a bunch of cats walking on their hind legs down my street doing some weird parade thing, I would be terrified out of my fucking mind. Like, Haru goes outside. She goes outside to check it out.
Girl.
Girl.
Please. Get taken.
Right. Like, obviously there's some weird magical cult thing going on. Like, you're just gonna go outside and directly, and like, not even hide. She's just gonna stand in plain sight to watch what's going on.
Like, I could watch. She could have seen. She saw it from her bedroom. I don't know why she didn't stay there.
Right. I just looked at my other banana split. Like, the other one, this, I should have just deleted this one, but it was, like, cool before knowing, like, the king was a horrible individual. It was cool that he wanted to reward Haru for saving his son, but, like, the gifts, obviously, were less than ideal.
The gifts are ice cream, you scream for me.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's valid. For sure. I should have put it there.
It's okay. I would say we're compartmentalizing. So the fact that she got a gift, banana split.
Right. Yes. Yes. That's it.
Yeah. The actual gift, ice cream, you scream.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So getting on to Muta here, and I'm wondering if having to watch this in English made it a less fun experience for me, but I'm kind of banana split just about his entire demeanor and personality. And like, I don't know if like the like New York accent is a large part of the reason why I'm split on how I feel about it. Like, he does kind of have like a grumpy demeanor in Whisper of the Heart, but
it's not like that.
Yeah, he feels a little less lovable and pretty aggressive in this, and that's just not what I thought Moon was in Whisper of the Heart. And he's supposed to be the same person, or cat, whatever.
Yeah, like him calling Toto bird brain like 80 million times.
Yeah.
Commenting on Haru's weight. Ice cream, you scream.
Oh my, yeah, yeah.
She also called him fatso, so then it's just like, well, shit.
Yeah, yeah. Honestly, like, because it's like a nothing ice cream, you scream, the fat jokes about Moon got old immediately. They were never funny.
Yeah, it really wasn't. Because it's like clearly like he bulked up like he's a strong cat. So to just be so focused on his weight as if his weight is his entire personality.
Right.
Even though he has a shitty personality. But still, like,
yeah,
I thought that was kind of messed up.
Yeah. Okay. This one's a little rant. Oh, this one's a little ranty.
Okay.
So, okay. Yuki tells Haru, "The door to your world is at the top of that tower, and the only way to that tower is through the King's Maze." All right. I'm like, are we in a video game? If this is what Shizuku, a middle schooler, wrote, and that's what this is supposed to be, it would be easier for me to suspend my disbelief and take it for what it is, because it's so very amateur sounding.
Yeah.
Like, why on earth would a king even have a maze? For funsies? Like, it just logically doesn't make sense at all.
Yeah, I feel like it's like a reference to the fact that this is supposed to be a kid movie rather than like,
yeah,
this isn't like the Ghibli that people like know and love for real.
Yeah,
I feel like Ghibli is a little bit more adult.
Yes, yes. On a similar note, when they're climbing the tower and the guards come out to face them, this conflict is presented and solved within like 30 seconds because the stairs beneath the guards just crumble and fall away, which gets rid of them as an obstacle, so our heroes just pass right through. Like, it's great to see that they're reaching the goal, but it's just, it's so convenient. And then at the same time, though, if we're seeing this as something, a story that a middle schooler wrote, it makes it believable. So it's, I don't know, I like don't know how to feel about all of that. And that's why it's in banana split for me.
Yeah, I just wish that it was targeted toward the right audience.
Yeah, it truly boils down to that.
Yeah, like, not that trying to cater to kids is wrong, but it's just like, I don't know how you dumb down a sequel.
Yeah.
If anything, it would be the opposite, where you dumb down the original and then you make the sequel like even more grown, I guess. But
right, right.
One of the things that I had was actually about Haru's personality.
Okay.
Like, that shit changed so hard when she got into the Cat Kingdom. Like, at first I was just like, what is going on with you? Because before she's like, I don't want to get married. I don't want to get married. I don't want to get married. Then all of a sudden they get into the Cat Kingdom. And then Muta's just like, girl, we got to get out of here. She's like, oh, I should just lay down. It's so nice. It would be great to be a cat. And I'm just like, I don't know how you had so much urgency. You were yelling and screaming,
right,
holding on to Muta, and now you're just telling him to chill out so you can lay on grass.
Yeah, like, she's fully aware that this is a dangerous place for her, So it's entirely out of character and makes no sense for her to be like, well, I'm all about this now.
Right. And I feel like her personality changing, maybe it's also in reference to the fact that the longer she's in the cat kingdom, the more likely she's going to become a cat, because she kept saying, oh, I could get used to this, or I could be here, or whatever. Mm-hmm. And like, she was getting dressed up and she was like, oh, I like my dress. And I feel that something that's kind of unresolved with her character is just her having more conviction, right?
Yeah.
Like, even when she rejects, which, I mean, that's in another segment as well, I won't go fully into it, but even when she rejects the Cat King, I don't feel like she did it hard enough. The way she ended off saying no, I was like, you could have gone a little step further to finalize it. But that's me. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I get you.
I know you said you had Rocky Road. I didn't have any, so...
Oh, yeah, no, I already said it, and it was...
Oh, okay.
Because it was part of Floats Your Boat when Prince Loon was proposing to Yuki. Time and place, not great, but just the sincerity of it all made me tear up because I am sensitive.
Yeah, and I wish that, honestly, I wished if... This would have been in Rocky Road if it happened. If, like, Haru recognized Yuki as the cat she saved.
Yeah, I was waiting for that, but alas.
Yeah, like, because that would have been really, like, beautiful. Like, oh, well, I always wondered about that cat.
Uh-huh.
And then knowing it was her, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So now we're going to move on to Hot Fudge.
Ooh, okay. I actually don't have hot fudge, although I'm sure some of these ice cream you screams could go in there.
Right. Okay. I got some. So.
Yay.
Why won't they take her no as a fucking answer?
Right. Right.
I was so pissed because even if she did a little bit weak at times, or most of the whole film, even if she said no weakly, she still said no.
Yeah.
So it's like you're going to try to coerce somebody into marrying your son. And meanwhile, they didn't even tell this bitch, okay? Loon just comes back, like, what's going on? Or whatever.
Yeah. He's like, Dad, what did you do?
Right. I thought that was so wild because it's just like, okay, this is supposed to be a kid movie. Why are you teaching children coercion?
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's uncomfortable. Yeah, this also came out in 2002, which is making right. me think of your story, which is like extra yikes.
Big motherfucking yikes. This man blew up a fucking tower the year after 9/11. And y'all released this Ghibli. How did this even come to the United States?
Oh my God, how is it okay? How did it get here? I
How did it get here? Because it's just like, it would be one thing if it got here in like 2005. 2002?
Even 2005, I feel like it's still fresh, but yeah, 2002.
2002, okay, he blows this shit up. And he's laughing and like the shit's falling apart and everything. I'm just like, oh my gosh, are they going to be crushed? Because they were showing murder in this as well, which I'm just like, how are you trying to make this a kid movie and you are throwing right. cats out of the window?
That is in my ice cream, you scream. Like, that is so dark. So dark.
It's so dark. I would rather y'all have like, oh, grown and sexy, but not really grown and sexy, like grown themes of fucking Louise, like some shit, like not throwing cats out the window. That shit's not funny. They're dead.
Right. I'm like, am I supposed to like laugh? I'm like, even as a kid, I'm like, I don't think I would think that was funny.
It's not.
I would just be like, they're dying. Right. Like, great. Like,
so, right.
Remind my 7-year-old self of my mortality. Thank you.
So now you're not only teaching children coercion, you're also teaching them how to harm their animals. You are making serial killers.
Oh my gosh. Okay, that's a lot. That's an extreme. But
okay, I went too far. But I'm just saying, they're doing a lot.
They're doing a lot.
Also, I didn't like the fact that Muta was in that jelly. Because at first, because, you know, they were getting way too dark. I'm just like, did he drown?
That's what I thought. I was like, is that what's happening right now? Is one of our main characters getting killed off in this children's movie?
Right. The coercion bit and the fact that they had a tower being detonated. And then on top of that, because like I said, because this connected to 9/11, this happened the year after this movie came out, the year after 9/11. So not only you have a tower being detonated, you have this girl free falling.
Mm. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
No, I can't.
That shit's dark as fuck. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, she got saved by Croat, but y'all.
That's a lot.
Yeah. Mm. It's a lot. And I really don't it's just very sus. And obviously we don't have the source material. I don't know if the manga was ever translated and brought over here. But the thing about it for me is that you can't be doing that the year after 9/11, y'all. Yeah, you can't be. I can still tell you where I was when that shit happened.
Oh, same.
Yeah, because it's not I was just alive. I was in school.
Me too.
And I remember that happening. They were talking of they had the TV. Actually, I really shouldn't. Anyway.
Yeah, let's not. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe not.
Keep it kind of light.
Yeah, we'll keep it light. But I'm just saying, Ghibli was doing a lot with this.
Mm.
And that's all I gotta say about that. They were doing a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get into I Scream, You Scream.
Yes.
Yeah, I'll let you take it away.
Okay. A very light I Scream, You Scream that I have is the way her classmates giggled nonstop at her being late at the beginning of the movie. I'm like, is that actually funny? She was obviously distressed. If I was in her class, I wouldn't be laughing at her. I'd be like, wow, I hope everything's okay at home, you know?
Right, right. And, the thing is, there might be a giggle here or there.
Right, right. But the whole class, and they wouldn't stop laughing.
Yeah, it wasn't that funny. Even Mochita laughing, right? Mochita's supposed to be fine, and he's good looking too, but he also looked too grown to be there. So did you feel a great?
He did.
I could laugh about that. Sir.
He looked like Seiji.
But more grown.
Right, right.
But yeah.
Yeah, I was like, is that supposed to be their son, but we don't know? I was desperately looking for a connection to Whisper of the Heart.
Right. Actually, let's get into that.
Okay.
Because, technically it could have been Hot Fudge, but it wasn't. I am so disappointed that this is marketed as a spinoff, and it just feels like... It reminds me of when you read books in a series and then the author's like, oh, it's standalone, but it's all connected. That's not what I wanted.
No, it's not what I wanted either. Like I said, I don't know if it was just the expectations of what this could be as a sequel or spinoff, and that ruined, and I don't want to say ruined because that's such a strong word, because I did enjoy the film, but I didn't love it. And I just thought I would love it and that it would encapsulate some of the beauty and magic more from Whisper of the Heart. And it just didn't.
Yeah. I was sad. I was hoping, I wanted Haru to be Seiji and Shizuku's daughter.
Me too. Yeah.
Then with the way that things were going, with that cat maze, I was just like, oh, is this one of Shizuku's books, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, all you need is a cute little epilogue of somebody closing a book and it's like... I don't know, their kid, and she runs up to their, to the mom, and then it just says imprint, Amazawa, on it or something.
Oh, yeah. That would have definitely helped to tie it together, at least a little bit more.
Right, they close the book, it says Amazawa on it and everything. The daughter looks up, and then there's the Baron figurine and Louise, and, the end.
Yeah.
But no, they didn't do that. And because of the fact that this is, technically the last book in the lore, I'm just so sad that, so you mean to tell me that Louise and Baron, never get together?
That breaks my heart. I genuinely want to brainstorm a fix for Whisper of the Heart / Cat Returns where Baron gets a happily ever after with Louise, because... I mean, they sold it so hard to us in Whisper of the Heart, and you and I were like, oh, this has got to be part of Cat Returns, and...
It's not.
And we're just left with nothing, yeah.
We're left with nothing. And then on top of that, I Scream, You Scream, Hot Fudge, technically, Haru, are you seriously trying to fall in love with the Baron? A figurine.
Okay. I mean, it's like... I'm taken as well by Carrie's voice, but in the universe of this actual movie, this is a full-on cat adult and she's a teenage girl. Like, what is happening?
We don't do bestiality over here. So first of all, girl, it's not even all the way bestiality. Like, what is it when you like try to, when you're attracted to inanimate objects?
I don't know. I don't know what the name for that is.
Whatever it is, that's what that girl got, because she watched that cat turn, that figurine turn into a cat for real. And then she's just like, oh, she likes him. And that's, I laughed at that moment too. I know that's kind of messed up. When she was just like, I think I have a crush on you. And he's like, I admire girls that are honest about their heart or some shit like that. Because he was really saying like, I appreciate you, but no.
No, I was actually really glad that he did that. And that was originally in my banana split because she confessed to a cat figurine. Like, what the fuck?
Right.
But then his response was, you know, I respect a woman who speaks from the heart and I appreciated that. But this is nonsense. And at the end of the movie, Hiromi tells her that, she tells Haru that her crush broke up with his girlfriend. And Haru just doesn't care because she's in love with an adult cat figurine. Like, it's just, it's too weird for me. I can't do it.
It's weird for me because you know what? There's another moment. There are so many moments of how they could have included Whisper in the Heart. I'm just like, even when he rejected her, he could have just been like, I admire a girl that's open about like her heart. But I have a love that I've been searching for, and one day I'll find her.
Oh, right? Right? Oh my God. Ugh. I'm so mad about it.
I know why the Maritza-san, this was his last movie, because I don't know what you were doing, sir. I don't know what you were doing.
I think it's more on the writing.
I don't know what the writers were doing. I don't know why the mangaka signed off on that. Like, Studio Ghibli must have got you for something. Because they are not helping your source material at all. Like, I'm just sad we didn't get any of them.
No.
And like Muta being changed.
Yeah.
Guys, Muta in Whisper of the Heart does not look like the Muta that is in this movie. So for the longest time, I didn't even think this was the same cat.
Why change him at all? Is my question.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
If you want to make him bigger for your purposes, that's fine. But like, why change the color palette when he was like iconic? So iconic that he's part of the background of the Lo-Fi Girl meme now.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make sense to change him so much to the point. Because I was just like, oh, so Baron is the connector, but not, because what is this, you know? Like,
yeah. I mean, at least we had the Baron. Like, the Baron felt like home. Watching this, and I appreciated that because he was still, or at least he was true to the idea that Shizuku presented in that small clip into her book that we saw.
Yeah.
So that was nice to have stay true to the original.
Yeah, I just wish it ended different. And then I think that for this movie to be more of a fantasy, we came up with such a better idea when we were reviewing Whisper of the Heart.
We did.
Like, oh, the second movie is the girl going into, like, trying to help the King of Dwarves get with the fairy.
Yeah.
And everything.
Oh, there's so many
ideas.
And then
she finds Louise and she brings them together or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, we had so many good ideas, and I feel like that probably ate into our expectation of this film. We were so excited to see what was going to be done. And, like, usually Ghibli's track record is quite high, you know, especially when they get into like these fantasy elements like Spirited Away, Nausicaa, Princess Mononoke. Like,
oh, yeah.
It can be very visceral and like rich. And so for this film to not only be made for a younger audience, but to not have much linkages to its prequel was just overall just very sad.
Yeah. Yeah. I was disappointed. And I hate to say that, but it's the truth.
Yeah.
Okay. Why in the world does the Cat Kingdom want to make a human marry their cat prince? In what way does this realistically benefit them? I'm struggling to suspend my disbelief this far. I just don't understand the motive whatsoever. Like, I know that she's going to transform into a cat or whatever in the Cat Kingdom, but, like, why not just have him marry a cat from the Cat Kingdom? Why does it have to be her? And also, in the same breath, how does this cat transformation work? There is nothing about the logic or the magic or anything behind it. Is it just if you're in the cat kingdom for overnight? Is if you don't get out of there before the next day, you turn into a cat? Like, it just was not explained. And I was just sitting here like, my disbelief cannot go any further.
Right. I think that her changing into a cat, not that they explain it very well. I think it has to do with her self-esteem. It's just that it's weird because, you know, in Whisper of the Heart, Shizuku had the worst self-esteem ever.
Yeah.
And, like, eventually she's able to figure that out. But here, Haru would just be like, oh, like, I guess her overall theme is, like, trying to find somewhere where she felt like she belonged. And so because she wanted to belong to something and she wasn't happy with herself, then the longer she spent in the cat kingdom, the more she transformed just so she could belong somewhere.
Yeah.
And I think at one point the Baron said that she needed to, when they were dancing, I think, her whiskers grew and he told her, like, you need to think about yourself. You need to believe in who you are. Remember who you are.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I feel like I just didn't get it. I don't know. Like, I understand, but it just seems kind of thrown together.
Yeah, it was. I mean, the whole movie sort of felt that way. Like, it did. There are so many loopholes. It's just like, how did the Baron even get into the cat kingdom if he was outside?
Disembodied voices.
Right. How did Toto not also get into the cat kingdom if he was...
Right.
Baron was riding on him. Why did they have the capability to detonate anything in the first place?
Oh, right. Right.
Are they in some subunit of like cat heaven for strays, you know, because Yuki was a stray? And after eating those cookies, like, did she die? Like, how did she get into the cat kingdom? How is she talking like an omnipresent cat Mufasa?
Right. It's just, it's a little all over the place.
Right. And so for there to be so many loopholes, that's why I know that this was targeted to kids, because kids generally don't ask questions like that.
Yeah.
Like, depending on how young they are, they're just like, oh, I accept shit as it is.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. But I think to have the prequel be so reflective on self-acceptance and figuring out what you want to do with your life, to it just being like a very lax believe in yourself or turn into a cat and randomly get almost into an arranged marriage.
Yeah, even though you said no and they just won't take it for an answer.
Right. And like, his dad is like crazy. Like, why would you offer to, she didn't even want your son and your son's better looking. Why would she want to even marry you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So there are just like a lot of like different mini things like that. Something I disliked as well is the floating cat eyeball CCTV. I thought that was fucking weird. Like, whose eyeballs are that?
Right, that's another thing that's like unexplained, thrown together. We just have to believe it's there in this world. Just, yeah.
Yeah.
I just have one more.
Okay.
So in the maze, Muta tries to climb over the sides to get to the tower. And honestly, I'm sitting there like, oh, like, this is brilliant. Seeing as they're captives and they need to get Haru home before she's literally a cat forever.
Yeah.
And Haru's just like, Muta, you're cheating, as if she doesn't condone it. Like, you want to play fair in a death trap maze as a kidnapped victim? Haru, please.
At that point, I just feel like she wasn't all the way there until she started changing back to a human. Because it was just like, girl, do you want to be saved?
Right.
I feel like they had to remind her that she wanted to be saved.
Yeah.
Without them, she would have just stayed there. Because, I don't know, her conviction is weird.
It is weird. There's like, she doesn't really have a strong will or like... It's almost like her character is not even fully fleshed out.
Yeah, it's like it's not fully fleshed out. Like, let's compare her to like Chihiro from Spirited Away. Spirited Away, you have Chihiro and she's basically trying to save her parents. That is her main motivation, to save her parents and get out of like the bathhouse, whatever. And so to see Chihiro go through so many things within Spirited Away in order to save her family, which I mean... When did Spirited Away come out? I know that came out early 2000s.
That came out in 2001.
Jesus, this is an atrocity then, this movie.
Right.
How, okay, for Spirited Away to come out first, and she has this conviction to save her parents, and she goes through all of these different fears so she can save her parents. And then the next year, you release a film and it's like, okay, Haru doesn't have to save her parents, but it's like, do you want to get back to your mom?
Right.
It looks like you don't have a dad, so it's just you and your mom. You want her to be all alone? Like, what about your school life? What about whatever dreams or hopes you had?
Mm-hmm.
There are so many things that aren't addressed about Haru's character, aside from this, like, weird, her being attracted to the Baron.
Yeah.
Which is just fucking weird. So it's just like, okay, so your feelings for Mochito, was that fickle too? Because you like fell down when you were holding trash because you watched him with his freshman, which at that point I was just like, okay, what if the girlfriend's a freshman? What are y'all? Like, are y'all juniors? Are y'all seniors? Like,
right. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. But in any case, I just thought I wanted better for this film. And you know what? Like, young me, when I was a child, maybe that's why I don't even remember it for real. I don't even remember this film. And like, I remembered, like, I loved Spirited Away so much. It's one of the first DVDs that was ever purchased for me.
Oh, that's cute.
So it's just like, the way I forgot about this film because I didn't want to remember.
You just mentally blocked it out.
I mentally blocked it out. I never saw Whisper of the Heart, so I didn't have anything to compare it to, so it didn't really matter. And like, now that I've seen Whisper of the Heart, this is the level of appreciation for Whisper of the Heart that we, or at least I could say me, I wasn't giving that film a lot, but at the end of our episode. But after seeing The Cat Returns, I give it so much kudos.
Yeah.
For delving into adult topics and really doing a better job of creating character development that we were just able to see, like, Shizuku, like, be able to come into herself and come into her own, realize she wants to write, realize that there's more to the world and that she should actually go to high school and stuff. I am so much more appreciative of this because, I don't know, it's just sad that This is how it ends.
Yeah.
Like, I need to see if somebody, like, I wonder if it was licensed, but probably not. Or if it was licensed, maybe it's in, like, digital hell. I don't know. But I would love to see if the mangaka actually continued the story of Shizuku and Seiji. Because I feel like, or not even them, I just want a proper ending for the Baron.
Me too. That's, like, truly, like, I might do some brainstorming. We might have to see.
We'll see.
Yeah. Because he deserves it.
Yeah. Did we get into her gifts? I don't remember.
I remember we had, like, mentioned them, but I don't know if we went through in detail or not. I actually don't remember.
I don't remember. So she got cattails. She got mice. I think we did talk about it.
Oh, I think we did. Yeah.
Yeah. Mice in the box. That is disgusting. Don't ever give me mice. In my last apartment, this is why I had to move to where I am now, is because of the fact that I moved into this apartment. They had fucking roaches in there. I have to throw out all my shit. They had roaches in there. They had mice.
That's horrible.
I caught at least 3.
Oh my God. Outside of a home, like, not in my home or anywhere near my things, I think mice are very cute, but do not invade my home space.
I was so agitated. Gianna, I lived on the 11th floor.
What? How?
Right. It's an infestation. And then the building manager tried to lie in my face, like, oh, it's not an infestation. I'm like, girl, I caught 3 fucking mice. I live on the 11th floor.
You have a problem. Like,
you have a problem. There are roaches everywhere.
Oh my God.
Everywhere.
That's horrible. I'm so sorry.
I had to get rid of my stuff. It's crazy. And I know that some people, they keep mice as pets. That's you, do you, baby. I'm not telling you not to do that. I'm saying, me personally, it will never happen on this God green's earth. Ever, ever, ever. I'm never going to do it. Like, I even dealt with bats, y'all, but that's a whole other story.
Oh my God. Wow. Wow.
Oh, I did not like pests. But either way, for them to be giving her all of that stuff. And actually, this was a critique I meant to say. Haru, I don't understand how they can give you a list of the things that they're going to give you, right? Why didn't you open it when them holes were still there?
Right, so that you could say yes or no, thank you.
Right. And you're grown, okay? This isn't like play middle school, okay? Shizuku was way more grown than Haru, but
right?
We've been said that.
Yeah.
But to not look through the fine print until after the fact is crazy.
Yeah, I feel like Shizuku would have like ripped that scroll open and seen what was going on.
For real, she really would have. But okay, I think that that's it.
Yeah, I think it is.
Wow. Okay, guys. For the first time ever, we actually did what we meant to do in having these like movie splits. Okay, because when we were planning out our podcast, we thought we would mix it up by having we'd cover a series and then in between series we would do a movie. And so the past other movie, like A Silent Voice, Whisper of the Heart, the shit was so good we broke it up into parts. This time it's one episode, baby. Like
we did it. We plowed on through.
So guys, please, I know that we were a bit negative because we had high expectations for this movie, but still, rate us 5 stars. Let us know in the comments on our social media. We are at Shoujo Sunday, literally everywhere. Follow us on Instagram, follow us on Twitter until we find an alternative. Follow us on TikTok. We're going to be making videos in the new year. Anywhere that we have Shoujo Sunday, YouTube, like, just follow us. But in the comments, let us know the last time you watched The Cat Returns. And were you as disappointed as we are?
Yeah, I would be so curious to hear your guys' thoughts on the film. Just because, you know, we were pretty disappointed. So I'm just curious to see what you guys think as well.
Right. And then on top of that, I want you guys, the emoji for the week, I want y'all to put a top hat for the Baron.
Yes, yes.
So, yeah. If you listen to this full out, put the top hat emoji in our comments, whether that is on Instagram or it's on Twitter. And you can follow me. I'm Chica Supreme. You can follow me at Chica Supreme on Instagram or Twitter. And that's Chica with a K. Gianna?
I am Gianna Luna, and you can follow me at Gianna_Luna_ on Twitter and Instagram and Twitch, wherever, on the socials. But yeah, that's Gianna with one N.
Okay, and we'll see you for the next series we're reviewing. Ugh. Guys, you are going to be so fucking gassed. I swear
I'm
to God.
So excited. Y'all are gonna be
so happy. We are so happy to be covering this.
I'm so excited that I hit my microphone when I said I'm so excited, and I'm not gonna cut it out.
Right. If you guys, like, I'm telling y'all, because we low-key be leaving y'all hints all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all, we said this is gonna take months, and low-key, we've been talking about this series
forever
on this podcast. Forever. That is the biggest hint I could leave you guys. Okay. Y'all can also leave your guesses in our comments. But yeah, can't wait to see you guys as we're reviewing that series.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Otherwise, we'll see you guys later.
We'll see you then. Bye.